Support for this podcast comes from Troy University, dedicated to teaching a new generation to lead change. Information on leadership opportunities available to students from day one is at troy.edu/leadchange.
From Troy Public Radio, this is In Focus, and I'm Carolyn Hutchison. Todd Stacy, host of Alabama Public Television's Capital Journal, joins us for a look ahead at tomorrow's primary election in Alabama. Todd, thanks for being with us the day before Alabama's primary election.
Yep, election day is here.
Give us sort of an overview from your perspective, having covered the state legislature.
Yeah, and so this election won't involve most Alabama offices, right? The legislature, you remember, they were all on the ballot in 2022, the governor, all the constitutional offices. But there are some judicial races, some Supreme Court races, including the Chief Justice race. There's a Republican primary between current Associate Justice Sarah Stewart and Brian Taylor, who's a former state senator and former legal advisor to the governor. That's kind of the hottest race for state office that we're seeing in a really interesting primary. There are several judicial races on the ballot, but the big one is that Chief Justice race. That's an important role for the state. They're not just a vote on the court, but they kind of manage the judicial system.
And Todd, this District 2 congressional race, there are a lot of people in that race.
That's right. And in both primaries, there are several candidates on the ballot for the Democratic primary. There are several candidates on the ballot for the Republican primary. I thought WSFA did a really good job with their coverage of this. They had a forum the other night allowing all the candidates to have their say. And that would be a good resource to check out on these candidates. But, you know, runoffs are likely in both cases. When you have so many candidates on the ballot, it's really hard for somebody to get over that 50% plus one to avoid a runoff. So I expect both Republican and Democratic races for that second district to go to a runoff. And that'll be really interesting to see, you know, who are the top two candidates, the top two vote getters in both. So you'll have a little bit of a playoff, if you will. And then it'll be interesting going into the general election. So it's one of these races that it's not just in Alabama. People from around the country are watching this brand new district and what's going to happen.
And Todd, backing up a little bit, the whole story of this congressional District 2, which runs literally from east to west to the state lines here in Alabama, what was it designed to do?
You know, we went through a round of redistricting after the 2020 census. Several court cases came about. It eventually went all the way to the Supreme Court. And a three-judge panel eventually redrew Alabama's congressional districts. And the idea was to create one more district in Alabama that is a majority minority or close to it. It ended up being about 48% or in the mid-40s in terms of black voting age population. That's what the court drew. The legislature didn't want that. They passed a map that was in the high 30s in terms of black voting age population. And the idea was to give minority voters in this state, which comprise about 27-28% of the population, at least a choice, an opportunity to elect a candidate of their choice. That's sort of the legal justification. The result of that is a district that you can say probably leans Democratic. It's not heavily Democratic, but it's still, all things being equal, should probably elect a Democrat, but it's not guaranteed. And Republicans see a real opportunity there, especially in a situation where there was low turnout in the general election. They see an opportunity to absolutely keep that district Republican, but there's no question that it's a lot more moderate than it traditionally has. The second district was really heavily Republican for a decade, and so now that's changed, and that's what makes it so interesting.
And now it runs all the way to Mobile.
That's right. To run in this race, you've got a campaign in Montgomery, you've got a campaign all the way over in Phoenix City, Russell County, down to Troy, over through the Black Belt, all the way down to Mobile. So it makes it really challenging. I've talked to the candidates about the challenge of getting around to all these places, spending hours and hours in the car. Plus, you've got to advertise. You've got to get your campaign ads up there. And that can be really expensive when you're doing it in the Montgomery market and the Mobile market, to say nothing of the Columbus market over there in Phoenix City. So geographically and demographically, it's an interesting district.
Todd, what do you know about this amendment number one?
I'm glad you asked me that because it bears some explaining. In the legislature, they have a procedure that encourages the lawmakers to pass budgets, right? That's their main job. And so every time they pass a bill before a budget, they have to go through this procedural hurdle called the budget isolation resolution. It really slows down the process. And what this amendment would do is say that for local legislation, non-controversial local legislation that all the local senators and representatives agree on already, that it would take away that legislative hurdle that slows down the process and allow them to go ahead and pass those non-controversial bills. It makes the legislature more efficient, makes it easier to pass bills that are really needed and really non-controversial, like I said, makes it more efficient and streamlined. It's a pretty common sense thing. It was, I think, unanimously passed in the legislature. But sometimes on amendments, folks will vote no if they don't really understand it. So it's important. You can read up about it on the Secretary of State's website. I actually interviewed the sponsor of this, Senator Clyde Chambliss, on Capitol Journal. You can watch that interview online to learn more about it.
We probably need to remind the listeners that the polls are open from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. You need to bring a photo ID. And you can find sample ballots at the Secretary of State's website. I believe that's under alabamavotes.gov. Scroll down to primary election, March 5th, 2024. You can see a sample ballot for your county.
Because these districts have changed, it's important to, before you go to the polls, figure out which district you're in. So I think because of these district line changes, you need to do a little more homework before going to the polls.
And Todd, an interesting aspect to the Secretary of State's website. There is another website besides alabamavotes.gov, stopvoterfraudnow.com. There are actually forms online where you can report suspected voter fraud as well as suspected campaign finance violations.
Yeah, I certainly would hope that people aren't out there trying to steal elections or, you know, commit voter fraud. It is pretty rare, especially mass voter fraud, but it happens. It really does. And I've seen instances of it. So certainly be on the lookout for that. But yeah, the campaign finance stuff, you know, I wish Alabama's laws were a little better about that because you see a rush of spending at the very end where it's that kind of too late to see who's funding whom. So maybe we could improve those laws in the future.
Is there anything else you want your listeners to know?
Just go vote. Don't take it for granted. Do your research, figure out which candidate is right for you. You know, you don't have to support a particular candidate. In fact, you don't have to vote in a primary at all. You can have a nonpartisan ballot that just includes the amendment and all that. But I think it's important. These are the first district and the second district, very important races. They're going to be watched nationwide. It matters a lot. It matters who represents Alabama in Congress. And so I just encourage you to make time to vote, bring your ID. I don't think there should be long lines this time around, but don't take for granted your opportunity to vote.
And Todd, Capitol Journal on Alabama Public Television is so valuable about interviewing candidates, interviewing guests, and giving us political insight into what's going on.
Well, I hope so. That's what we aim to do. And, you know, during the legislative session right now, we're on nightly. So we cover every night what the legislature is doing. Those episodes air at 10:30 after your local news on Alabama Public Television. And of course, have our weekend review shows. It's an hour-long show that covers everything that happened in the legislature that week. So that airs Fridays at 7:30 and also Sundays at noon. So it's a great resource. We try to keep viewers up to date on what's happening in their government. And so please tune in.
Well, thank you so much for joining us for a preview of tomorrow's primary election here in Alabama. Todd, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Joining us for a preview of Alabama's primary election tomorrow was Todd Stacy, host of Alabama Public Television's Capitol Journal. More information about the election and the ballot can be found on the websites of the Secretary of State, sos.alabama.gov and alabamavotes.gov. Thanks for joining us today for In Focus, which is a podcast on NPR One or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Carolyn Hutchison, and this is listener-supported Troy Public Radio.